Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome. Thank you for being here to this, the Herald Journal, Utah Public Radio, Logan mayoral debate. Please, let's give our three candidates a round of applause for taking the time to be here tonight. And give yourselves a round of applause for taking part in this important civic event. Thank you. On behalf of everyone who helped make this possible tonight, my name's Matt Jensen. I'm a reporter and presenter with Utah Public Radio. And it's my privilege to be moderating this event tonight. Our objective is to help introduce to you three individuals who hope to become the next mayor of this great city. We hope that this debate will help prepare you, the voter, for the upcoming primary election, which is August 13th, from which two candidates will advance to the general election on Tuesday, November 5th. The next mayor of Logan will oversee an expanding city, a place known for both its small-town charm and the growing pains that are part of any metropolitan area. He'll supervise a full and part-time staff of 774 employees, manage a budget of $130 million, and take on the unique challenges of traffic congestion, air quality, and economic growth and development. First, let's take a moment to introduce you to our three candidates tonight. James Olson, he's Logan's Community Development Block Coordinator. Craig Peterson, he's a current Cache County Councilman. And the incumbent, Mayor Randy Watts. Gentlemen, please take about 3 minutes to share an opening statement with our audience tonight. In the interest of time, you'll notice a timer over here on the screen. It's set for 3 minutes for this first opening statement, and we'll ask that you try to stay within that time frame so that other candidates have equal time as well. We'll go in alphabetical order with Mr. Olson starting first, then Mr. Peterson, and Mayor Watts. So let's go to that point, and then we'll ask questions, some basic questions which have been submitted to us online at Utah Public Radio and at the Herald Journal, as well as through Twitter. And you can actually tweet your questions tonight, and we'll be able to receive them. There is internet in the room, so if you have your phones or a tablet, please tweet your questions at hashtag LoganMayorDebate. If you'd prefer, you can just use a paper note and write your question down that way and pass it to the end, and we'll go through and collect your questions. So let's go to that point with the gentleman starting with their opening remarks.
Super. Thanks a lot, folks, for coming out. I really appreciate it. You know, this is similar to some of the neighborhood meetings that I've been dealing with the last year or so. The chance to be able to get in front of the people of Logan, talk about the issues that concern you guys. Well, in this case, today we're here to talk about the next mayor of Logan. And I want to propose to you guys that I'm the right guy for the position. Number one is I care about you guys. I care about the city of Logan. I've been able to work hand in hand with a lot of the people here in this room on neighborhood cleanup projects, like I say, at the neighborhood meetings. Been able to talk to you guys about your concerns and to be able to come up with new communication initiatives at the city level. Also been able to work with many of you on various recreation, public art, and other initiatives through an organization that I founded called Better Logan. I believe that we have an awesome opportunity here to continue to make Logan better. Obviously, there's some challenges that were already explained. We're a growing city, we've got traffic congestion, we've got a lot of different things. A couple of things I don't want to lose sight of. Number one is our neighborhoods. There's been initiatives taking place in our neighborhoods to try to make them better. But I'd argue that they've sort of stalled out. They've run a little bit dry, and we just need a new revised vision. We need a plan to get us on track. This is going to involve kind of pairing with one of my other major themes, and that's communication. We're really interested in what I'm very interested in what you guys have to say, and I think that you guys should be the desires of the people, coupled with expertise in the cities and others, that should really shape what goes on around you. I want you guys to have the chance to affect what goes on in your block, your neighborhood, hey, even in your downtown, in your business district. Also have a lot of concerns about our business reputation. You know, as a city, we have a lot of businesses coming in. What we're hearing from a lot of the businesses that are currently here is that they feel that the relationship with the city is pretty confrontational, that it's not friendly enough. You know what? I care about having jobs that are good enough for our residents. There's a lot of our employment rate's great. Unemployment rate is great. It's very few unemployed. The underemployment rate's what bothers me. I think if we can get out of the way of the businesses and set them up for success, we've got a real shot here. You know, we have infrastructure issues. A lot of these things, you know, are going to capitalize a lot of our attention, but it sure means not a whole lot if we don't have the good neighborhoods and we're supporting the people of Logan, and that starts with you guys.
You know, I learned this morning how passionate some of my supporters are. A woman in Cliffside called me up and said that she had 10 of my signs on her yard. Apparently, some of my people decided that she needed to know about me. It took me about an hour to get those back to the proper locations. Years ago, I read a book called Magnificent Obsessions, written in 1929. And it starts out with a selfish jerk being rescued at the expense of a wonderful humanitarian dying because the resuscitation machine was used elsewhere. And the jerk repents, and the theme of the book is pay it forward. And the notion is that rather than pay good deeds back to the person who did them for us, we pay them forward to people who are in need. And that's really why I'm running. Logan's been good to me. I had wonderful experiences in the schools here, in parks. I raised my family here, and I want to pay it forward. I think I have a debt to Logan, and I think I can make a contribution. So that's what's in it for me. That's why I'm running. But what about you? What do I have to offer you? I think I have a high level of energy. I think I have new ideas, and I think I have a constructive skepticism to look at the way things have been done, and if inappropriate, then to change them. One of the things that I did when I was contemplating running was I looked at Logan City's organizational chart. Realize you can't see that, but this is on their website, and it lists about 10 areas, 10 top directors, and these are the things that Logan City is primarily concerned with. And I thought, how do I match up with these? And as I looked at them, I realized that in my political and my professional career, that I really had some experience in almost all of them. And I'm just going to talk about three. The single largest area of Logan's budget is electric power. 60% of all the revenues come from the municipal utility. And that's an area where I've been involved all my life. Earlier, I was on Logan City's power board for a couple of years. When I was in graduate school writing a thesis, the topic that I chose was the regulation of electric utilities. And I looked for several years, I studied electric utilities. Later on in my career, I had an opportunity to look at renewable energy, particularly solar energy, and especially the technology and the economics of solar energy. And a number of years ago, Utah State and Logan City were headed on a collision course. They had a dispute about the contract for electricity the Utah State purchased from Logan City, and they were headed for court. And the university at that time asked me if I'd come and work with Logan City to negotiate the contract. And we negotiated a contract that is essentially still in force. Second area is land use, and I'm going to have to talk about that briefly. I've been on the Logan City Zoning Commission for 2 years, been involved in those issues for many, many years. Thomas Jefferson said that when you accept the public trust, you become the public property. That's a little bit scary, but if I'm elected, I think that's true, and I'll be your mayor, and I'll try to represent you fairly and effectively.
Let me start off. I appreciate this location. It brings back fond memories. I actually attended the Whittier School. Not like Craig's a little older. Craig attended all of the classes at the Whittier. I went to first, second, and third grade, and then went to the new Edith Bowen, which is now torn down, and they got another new Edith Bowen. So, like Craig, I've lived here all my life. The heartbeat as kids was this neighborhood and the canal and temple and the old hospital that was here at one time and this school ground. The thing I just immediately coming right out of this is that You've seen what I've done or working on in the 8 years. The economy hasn't been good. I hope you go to my website, MayorRandyWatts.com, and really look at the issues. It hasn't been easy. The finances have been tough. And when I first stepped in, immediately I had to step up, figure out where the revenue is going to come from. Because we weren't looking at raising property tax, and we had to do it internally. If you look at my website, 18 individuals. I didn't take them. I let them go when they retired, and I did not replace them. And that brought quite a bit of revenue. When I first came in, the previous mayor had a city administrator. Immediately, we all understand that Logan's a strong mayor form of government. I took out that city administrator. He was very capable, but he went back to the university, and we moved ahead. That was the first step I made. Secondly, when you start looking at the city as a whole, I look at the playgrounds out here. We were in the Whittier Center was in dire straits to get this playground finished, but they couldn't get it done. They couldn't get the concrete in. They had to board the ground for the footings, and it wasn't in my budget. Councilman Monson stepped up. He says, can we do something? I says, well, yes, I can, but I'm going to have to have all of our full-time people come and work on it so we're not paying overtime or paying because they're already on salary. So I had all of our city engineers, everybody that was on salary, and we came in here and spent 4 days getting this thing set up so they could put the playground on top of it. When they talk about not friendly with neighborhoods, that's been constant in the 8 years that I've been here, even though I'm hearing the opposite. And businesses, 42 businesses have come to this valley since I stepped in, new businesses. We have RDAs, EDAs, and Kirk Jensen that's a part of the city. It's a 24/7. We're busy with business all the time. We're a little tougher because we expect and demand things that have to be met by the state and the feds as far as ruling. And you have to meet that. With stormwater and other qualifications, you have to do it to make it qualified to get the building permits. And it is a tougher environment than it was a few years ago for building. Thank you.
Thanks for those opening remarks, candidates. Okay, we're going to continue tonight in a unique way. We're going to ask the candidates a unique question that only they will answer. This is not part of the debate. And for this first question, we'll just give you 60 seconds to answer. So again, it's a unique question that we'll ask each of you. The first question is for Mr. Peterson. In your work on the Cache County Council, what methods have you discovered that improve working relationships between the county and its cities?
That's been a difficult issue because I've learned that there's a fair degree of animosity between Logan City and some of the other cities. One of the things that we've tried to do is make sure that people have voice. In fact, I'm proud that during the time I've been on the county council that I've often been the one who's been a proponent of public hearings. We had an issue on air pollution. We still have an issue on air pollution, and we're looking for a solution. And one of the actions that I took as a member of the county council was to set up a public hearing and ask for people to come from any place in the county and propose their solutions. And we got some very good ideas. Unfortunately, they didn't fit within the confines of the rule book of the Environmental Protection Agency. But the notion that people were able to come and were able to share with the best and the brightest and to pick the minds of people in Cache Valley, I think, was extremely effective. Another thing that I've done is twice during my time on the county council, I've been to every single city council in the valley, once on an issue of libraries and another issue. And so I've seen what they're like. I've seen the issues that they face, and I've seen the way they function.
Okay, next question for Mayor Watts. Working now through your second term as mayor, how do you gauge employee morale in the city, and are there ways to improve it?
Great question. When I first came in, being from the private sector and dealing with not only my personal business but in the family business, when Cache Valley Builder Supply was up and running and we were in our full run of things, there was about 85 people that worked for the city. And how do you do it in the private sector? There's a couple things that have to happen. You got to have productivity. That's without a doubt. And you got to have the citizen friendliness we do in the city, but it's customer-based in the private. And they've got to be friendly and courteous, and they've got to get the job done. And when I first came in, there was performance expectations, and it's 10. And it's also on my website. of what I expect the employees of Logan to do and accomplish when they're working. And the one thing I brought in was the fact that, yeah, it was a little bit lax. What time is work? Is it 15 after 8? Is it 8:30? Is it 8:45? What time is it? If your job designation is 8 o'clock, I expect you at your desk, ready to handle phones and take care of the citizens a few minutes before 8. I understand there's exceptions at times with problems with family, but that's what I set up and told them that's what I expected in the private sector, and that's what I expect from you. In return, I'll continue to fight for you to give you a wage increase.
Okay. Thank you. And the last question for Mr. Olson. You created the community service organization Better Logan. What prompted you to form this group, and has it accomplished what you had hoped?
Some time ago, I guess over a year ago, people started coming to me after I've done a number of neighborhood meetings and whatnot. And they said to they said to me, James, we'd love for you to run for mayor. And I said, no, folks, that's not my bag. You know, that's not what I'm interested in. I love this city. And they said, no, we really like the way that you conduct yourself, the way that you're kind of bringing groups together, the way that you go out and talk to people. I said, no, it's still not my bag. That's not what I'm interested in. But I was interested enough in my city to say, you know what, I'd like to do something that's not running for mayor. Better Logan is something that I created as an alternative to running for mayor. I got out there and we put this group together, and we've done different community initiatives, resident-based initiatives that have to do with recreation, some that have to do with public art, and a number of different a variety of things. Has it accomplished it? Absolutely. It's starting to bring people together, and I just think it's a great thing, and I hope everyone checks out August 3rd at Merlin Olson Park. We have Better Logan Summer Games. It's a community event, free for the families and anyone else, 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, so be there.
Okay, thank you, candidates. So for these next questions, you'll all respond. You'll have 60 seconds. And these were questions that were submitted to us by Herald Journal readers, UPR listeners, and tweeters. Again, you can tweet your question at Logan Mayor Debate, hashtag Logan Mayor Debate. A quick disclaimer, many of the questions that were submitted to us dealt with air quality and traffic issues. We tried to consolidate a lot of those questions and vary the content so that our conversation is varied here tonight. So let's start with this question. Sarah writes, given the effects of multiple road projects in Central Logan's neighborhoods, what are your plans for developing a transit strategy that respects the character of older neighborhoods, as well as the investments that homeowners have made in their homes and communities? And alternatively, she writes, is your best advice to downtown homeowners simply sell now and get out? Let's start with Mr. Peterson.
It's a difficult question because you have to balance the need for improved transit versus the rights of the individual homeowners. One of the things that's important is that you have communication. People understand what's going to happen, that they have voice in what's going to happen. And I think it's also important. In fact, one of the things I'm going to stress today is that I think that Logan City often implements policies over people. I had a person approach me that lived on one of those streets that was in transit, it being changed. And her property was uprooted, and it turned out the city had made an error in terms of their measurement. Well, we have to be more careful about things like that. In fact, it's interesting. I've actually been told that UDOT has been more careful on 10th West in terms of dealing with citizens than Logan City has on other areas. So we have to do what we have to do. We have to improve transit, or else the city's going to end up with gridlock. But we have to be very concerned about the impacts of on individual citizens and their homes.
When you look at the road systems, and I bring up the CMPO, Cache Metropolitan Planning Organizations, it's valley-wide, and it wasn't created just today or yesterday. It was years ago in studying the long-term traffic issues that Logan has. I was one of the lead people on the 10th West. I was lobbying with the UDOT commissioners, those in charge of putting who's at the top of the list and who's at the bottom. And we jockeyed for position and got 10th West moving in the right direction. It was a collaboration with all the other cities. Thank goodness they step up. We took some of the roads that were owned by UDOT. We took them back over for maintenance and repair. In exchange, UDOT took 10th West. It's still in the process. huge project for Logan because the utility has all got to be put underneath it. And everything that we're doing in the city is done environmentally. The Second East is all done with a 9-year environmental discussion. Second East going north, discussion. Environmental studies done by professionals. Thank you.
So I live right near Second East. This is a hot topic for a lot of people in my area. You know, it's kind of broke apart the neighborhood a little bit. People worry about being able to back out of their driveways. Well, I'm not here to tell you that I'm not going to do a Second East one day. Here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it differently if it in fact is the right thing to do. I've been putting together a community impact study. When we get federal funds for a project, we're required to do an environmental impact study. So in fact, as the mayor said, things are done very environmentally. The study is about a 400-page document, and it talks about spotted owls and making sure we're not building roads in wetlands, but it fails to take into account the humans. Okay, I'm concerned about the fact that we have neighborhoods that are affected by this. And so this community impact study, I envision it being a discussion with the people where we come and they're involved. If they want to be involved at the beginning, be involved at the beginning. If you want to be involved at the end, be involved in the end. The important thing is you're part of the discussion, and it's a discussion where we're listening, not just hearing. Thank you.
Okay. The next question comes from Kim. This person asks, what will you do to encourage timely snow removal on sidewalks by managers or tenants of rental properties? This person adds, this is an ongoing problem west of the university. Let's begin with Mayor Watts.
You know, constantly with the residential neighborhoods, what's happening, and we've all seen it, and I'm not beating up those that are landlords. But like I said, I mentioned earlier, I've lived in this area of Logan for all of my growing up years, and in those years it was all residential neighborhood. Very little apartment residential was the main, and there was pride in ownership. What is happening as you look around because of rental and what's going on, those students are concerned about one thing, getting grades, enjoying their time at Utah State, and caring little about the cans coming in, snow removal. It's a second or third thought process to them. We need to, and we try to. James Geyer and John Lisby continually go out to try to remind them. But we as neighbors, if you're willing and have a back, sometimes we just have to do what we got to do, and that's step up and take care of a piece of property that doesn't seem to be done by the students. And it's going to continue to be a problem.
You know, this is interesting. After a lot of snow last year, I went to the powers that be in the Community Development Department, and I said, I want to create something called Clear the Way Winter Challenge. And so we put it out, and the Herald Journal was good enough to cover it, and it was a petition for people to say, hey, it's been kind of rough and miserable out there this year with unshoveled walks, and we heard a lot about it at the January neighborhood meetings I put on. And I said, what are you guys' solutions? We want to get ideas from you. Because the city, we're good at enforcing. We'll enforce all day long, and that's, you know, really the remedy that we have. Like, we've let 18 positions go, so we're a little bit short-staffed in some areas, right? And so the nature of the beast is I started getting a series of emails in. The first email says, hey, I have this great idea to do this and such, but you may want to be careful before you start getting after people because this city property and this city property and this city property, they're not shoveled. You're telling us to shovel and we're not doing it ourselves. I say we need to lead by example and we can do a better job of that.
There are some issues regarding how people take care of their property that involve beautification preference. There are others that involve safety, and this is one of them. And this is just one example. There are others like occupancy, the safety of rental housing, and so forth. And where the public safety is involved, I think the city has to be more proactive. And I would be a little bit critical of the city on all of those areas because I think they tended to be reactive. It's been a complaint-based system. If somebody doesn't shovel their walks, then I think that we're endangering people, and many times I've walked down Forth North and other areas in the winter because I walk a lot, and I've been forced to go out in the street. The public safety really is involved there, and there's an area. There aren't a lot of areas where government ought to be involved, but government needs to be involved to protect public safety.
Thank you. Gentlemen, the next question is about pay for the mayorship. Do you think the pay for the mayor's office is excessive or consistent with the workload and responsibility that comes with this office? Let's begin with James Olson.
It's a $130 million budget. No, I think it's fair. And I think as long as the mayor is doing a particularly, you know, is diligent and is there at the office, is attending to big issues, has a level of expertise, also has, you know, is surrounding, is doing the job that a city manager, a city administrator should be doing. No, I think it's logical for a mayor to be paid well. Otherwise, you know, we want someone with some expertise and ability in there. And you know what? Now, as my education is in city management, I've got that expertise, and I think that I would earn that pay, and I would use the rest of the money that's involved in the general fund, that's involved with the city budget. I'd use that extremely responsibly, and so I think I'd earn my keep, folks.
I talk about salary. Who's the gatekeeper? Well, the council's the gatekeeper. They're the money people. But do you think they'd visit with me about what do you think? And I passed them up. I haven't asked for increase. We've seen some increase in the county. We've seen it across the state. It's a $130 million job. And I never hired on for the dollars. I hired on to change the dynamics of this city and get it going. I'm not a politician. I am not a politician. I'm a businessman. And that's the way I've taken it from the get-go. And I want people to understand that. Take it very seriously. And we were in some tough financial shape, and it wasn't in a situation to give a mayor an increase and say, well, what is the mayor? Is he set an example or isn't he? I've set an example. There's been no increase in my salary.
Salary's not an issue for me in terms of this job. It was never a consideration. I feel maybe a little bit differently, though. It's always concerned me how we pay our public officials. And I think the mayor's salary is not necessarily a lavish salary for the type of responsibility that he or she has. For example, if you compare the mayor's salary to that of the president of the university, it's about now a fourth, I think, of what the university president makes. You get what you pay for. And although, again, it's not relevant to me, I think we ought to be careful about seeing how cheap we can get a mayor.
Okay, thanks.
88, Randy?
It's an 84 base, of course, with your benefits and some retirement that comes along with it. It's about 114 with benefits.
Can people in the back hear okay with the fans running? Okay. Okay, we're going to change the pace here a bit and ask kind of a fun, basic question about our candidates so that we can get to know them more as people and as our neighbors. These questions aren't meant to be debated, so let's just take about 30 seconds to give this response. Don't worry, gentlemen, this is an easy one. How do you spend your time on the weekends? Mr. Peterson.
On the weekends, well, Sundays are fairly full. Saturdays are often involved with tennis or hiking or biking. I'm an active person. I'm an outdoors person, and so in the summertime, it's pretty much outdoors.
If either one of the and I'm not reelected, that they'll find that their Saturdays will change. There's a lot to the plate of a mayor, and there's lots of people trying to find some time that you can spend with them. And there's plenty of nonprofits that need just 20 minutes or a half hour. Usually every week, and Teresa Harris, my secretary and the city recorder, keeps me in balance. But it's a tough, but family's number one. It's always has been and will continue to be, and I have to find time to find that balance, and I do it with family when I have extra time.
All right. Much like most of my time, my Saturday and Sunday is spent with diaper changes and with taking the kids to various parks. Hikes around the area. I have 5 kids. I have a beautiful wife. We just love exploring the area. You know, we've been here for five years on a permanent basis, and so there's still a lot for us to see. You know, going up the canyon, and also we have other great family here that we enjoy spending time with. And so that's And when I'm not doing that, I'm out there with Better Logan, doing. We've done neighborhood cleanups. We've done various initiatives, and that's plenty to keep a guy busy. But
thank you. Thank you. Okay. This next question comes from you, our audience, tonight. Again, this is a general question. You'll each respond 60 seconds. What are your feelings regarding continued funding of the historic downtown area and the goals of the Downtown Alliance? Let's start with Mr. Peterson.
The downtown's critical to Logan. We can't let it die. In fact, my wife and I were talking, this isn't actually downtown, but it's near that. We were driving by the mall. And we had a serious concern as we looked at the mall about its continued viability. You know, it's easy to say, let the market totally determine what happens, but if the downtown area deteriorates, that has serious spillover effects for the other parts of the community. At the same time, fundamentally, the success of the downtown is going to be determined by entrepreneurs with vision and energy and product to sell, and by demand from the market. So I think what we can do is we can assist people, we can bring people together. One of the things that I'd like to see is I think the cooperation level between the Chamber of Commerce and Logan City and perhaps some other aspects of the business community could be improved. But although I wish I had a panacea to solve the problem of downtown, the reality is that government's ability to change that is somewhat limited.
I hope, and I know you've noticed, downtown we've been in a sidewalk improvement for the last 4 to 5 years. You've seen what's happened now in front of the Beehive Grill. That's a little out of the historic district, but Main Street's Main Street. It's all important that the both areas from the north to the south and the historic need to all kind of be brought up together because they're all businesses. They all need help. So we worked and collaborated with the businesses to make that happen. The coach lighting has come. We've worked seriously and hard with the church. The first phase was to get the coach lighting around the entire tabernacle. What we did is we, as the city, put all the labor in to put them in. The church paid for the coach lighting. And we worked on the parking to the east of the tabernacle, worked with them. They did an excellent job of really helping take care of some real pressures downtown. And we're working with the businesses now through the RDA. We've helped the old Logan Savings building on 4th North and Main with the new brick. That was done through an RDA project. Thank you.
Historic downtown. I love downtown. It's just, yeah, I'm so excited to live in a place. I grew up in a city that, you know, wound up being, when I was born, 75,000 people. By the time I left it, thankfully, it was 500,000 people. Didn't have a downtown. And I come to Logan, and 1/10 of the size, and it's just a great place to be able to walk up and down the streets. Now, the way that we can help downtown is, as I've talked about before, we need to be good to our business community the very best we can. One of the roughest things I've seen happen downtown is there's been sidewalk improvements, and one block in front of the Emporium, those businesses were required to pay an assessment. Now, 1st to 3rd South on Main Street, they're not required to pay an assessment for a portion of that project. Why is there an inequity? I think that, you know what, I'm all for doing things that government should be involved with, and that's taking care of our roads, our lighting, things that are good for the entire public. But come on, we got to do it equitably between all these groups.
Okay, thank you. The next question comes from Heidi. She writes, Mayor Watts talks about running for a third term as mayor to see the water treatment project through to completion. She asks, isn't this a project that anyone can take over, such as James or Craig? Mayor, let's start with you.
Well, and that will be a choice for you to make, but I've been attached to the water problem we've got, the wastewater at the lagoons for 6.5 years. Dr. Sims is in the audience. He represents the university and the biofuels and the algae that comes off those lagoons. I've talked with United States senators, talked with the governor, talked with the assistant governor, talked with the congressman. And how important is it? Well, it could be a $120 million project or even more than that. If we can get no interest money, if we can hold off on and saving some of the lagoons, to continue to do the algae studies, maybe use the algae, if nothing more, than to create an energy farm to keep it self-contained. Yeah, I think that because of my being entrenched in this and it's totally consuming, that I'd like to see it end. I've always had projects in the past, and I'm excited to try to see the end of this. And I think I have the expertise to get it to the end. Thank you.
You know, mayoral terms never coincide with the end of projects. If you let a mayor serve until all the projects are completed, they serve ad infinitum. The question here is who can carry the project in the future, and who can carry it forward? Who can be most effective in negotiating with the Environmental Protection Agency? I've spent 6 years as a member of the Utah Air Quality Board. We've dealt with the Environmental Protection Agency. I have some expertise in the technology that's involved here. I have a lot of expertise in analyzing the economics of the situation. And one of the things that concerns me is that the city seems to have capitulated and simply said, we're going to do this. I'm aware of a study that was done by a university professor, Utah State University professor, that basically said that the fish life in Cutler Dam are thriving. And the whole basis for this, the basis that we're being required to do this, is because of protection of aquatic life. Aquatic life is important to protect, but it certainly doesn't raise to the level of importance of protecting human health like with air quality. So again, the question is, who can best carry this forward?
You know, when just before I moved here to Logan, I worked for the metropolis of Raymond, Alberta. Anyone know Raymond, Alberta out there? Okay, there you go. All right. You know, it was one of the darn hardest things for me to step away from some of the projects we had there. I had a municipal water plant that was just coming online. It was a multi-million dollar project that I was involved with the grant funding and kind of putting that together. I was involved with millions of dollars of grant funding for a swimming pool. I was involved in infrastructure grants. Boy, it was hard to step away from that. But you know what? It somehow got done. And I have trust in the people that Mayor Watts is working with right now. He's working with some good people. If you listen to the whole discussion about it, you hear about how many consultants are involved, how the state's coming forward and saying, hey, we'll fill out the grant application for you. You know, a lot of these different things. I'm not saying that Mayor Watts hasn't done a lot of work on this. He's definitely close to it. I think the things are in place that I'll be able to take it over, and let's get her done if that's what needs to be done.
Thank you. Okay, this next question, this will be 60 seconds each. How do you plan to adequately represent a growingly diverse population? Let's start with Craig.
Thank you very much. That's an important question because it's a question that's increasingly pertinent for Logan City as we have larger and larger percentages of our population that are diverse. Let me give you an example. About 8 years ago, I became aware of an organization called the English Language Center. The English Language Center teaches English to those of not just Hispanic, but of various different nationalities. I've been a board member now for 6 years. 3 years ago, that entity had a $1.2 million debt on its building. In the course of 3 years, we've reduced that to zero, and we've made that a viable entity. That's important to me, and I've demonstrated that by my continued presence on the board. And I'm totally aware that if Logan is to be a viable community in the future, that we have to make sure that we bring all of us up together. You can't say, well, there's us and them, because what happens is if they don't succeed, we don't succeed. We've got to come up together. That a rising tide raises all ships.
In my position as Community Development Block Grant Coordinator here for the city for the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to work with most of the nonprofits in our good city. And I'll tell you, they each have their different struggles. One of the things that's common between a lot of them is the fact that they work with a diverse population. So I've been able to hear a lot of the concerns that they have, and they said, it sort of seems like a lot of people are pretending that we don't have 6,000 Hispanic people here in our city. It's almost like no one acknowledges the fact that we have Burmese refugees, except for us nonprofits. Now, how do we handle that? I've been told that there is more that we can do to bring people together. We can have meetings with people. We can be involved with the English Language Center and just let people know of the basic services that we have. Is it our job as a city to be able to cater to all the needs? No, there are certain things we can do, though. For example, one thing is lighting at soccer fields. A lot of the population appreciates being able to their sport of choice, and we can do that. How many other things could we do that are that simple?
With my years with the city, I've been involved with the CCC, which is the Cash Community Connections, which is all of the different denominations within the valley. It's a very productive group. They collaborate. They talk about the needs of the valley, the things that they can work together and accomplish good things. It's well done. Dean Quell is in the audience and really one of the originators. Spent a lot of time with that, and I've enjoyed that, you know, working with Habitat for Humanity. One thing for sure, we've got plenty of individuals that are in the lower income that are looking for affordable housing. Logan's taken on a huge burden. RDA's kind of mandate that because of where some of the monies have to go from. They have to come from the RDA, come back into affordable housing. Much of that is being worked with and accomplished as we move ahead to try to meet the needs for people in those situations.
Thank you.